The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
So we're 9 days into 2022, and it feels like every conversation I have at some point gets to the question of what will this year bring? And so, as I was reading the scriptures for this week, I realized they speak to this question of what will the future bring, especially our first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking on God's behalf to the Jewish people who are in exile. They're captives in Babylon after their city in Jerusalem was destroyed, and they were taken all the way to what is modern Iraq, and they lived there as captives for the past 70 years. And so God is speaking to them about what their future holds. And so I want you to imagine, if you can for a moment, feeling like the past year after year has just been one ongoing disaster after the next, feeling like you're forced to stay in one spot where you don't want to be, and you're separated from your family, and you feel like the government's not going to help you. See if you can imagine that. And then what God says to those people is, here's what the road ahead of you holds. It's going to have floods, and it's going to have fires, and there's going to be global conflict. And you say to yourself, wow, that sounds like bad news. And in our gospel lesson, we also hear God tell Jesus what the road ahead is going to be like for him. We hear the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, which starts with Jesus' baptism. And scholars disagree, depending on how they read the Gospels, of whether it's going to be 1 year long or 3 years long. But however long it is, the one thing everyone knows about Jesus' ministry, it's how it ends, right? He gets betrayed, he gets arrested, he gets crucified. Once again, this sounds like bad news. And yet, at the beginning of his ministry, the message that God gives to Jesus, that God wants Jesus to carry as he goes forward, is, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is what God wants Jesus to know about the road that is ahead. So that when Jesus is turning water into wine or feeding the multitudes, Jesus knows that he belongs to God, that he is loved, that God is pleased with him, so that when Jesus is processing into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with the crowds cheering for him, he hears God say, you are mine. I love you. I am well pleased with you. So that when Jesus is hanging on the cross dying, he hears the words of God saying, you are mine. I love you. I am well pleased with you. And now it's much easier to believe those words when people are chanting your name to make you king than when they're chanting to have you crucified. And so God speaks these words of promise. You are mine. I love you. I am well pleased with you. God speaks those words of promise to Jesus first in the waters of baptism. Because you see, baptism is spiritual drowning. We are plunged under the water three times in baptism. Baptism is explicitly a storm that we cannot weather. It is a moment when we have to gasp for air because we can't keep our head above water. We tone it down when we baptize little kids because, you know, even if it's symbolic, parents get nervous when we waterboard babies. But that's what it is. In baptism, we drown, and then we are raised up out of the waters to new life. And when Jesus comes out of the waters of his baptism, gasping for air, he has the experience of, in that moment, hearing God say to him, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You are mine. I love you. I am well pleased with you. He has that experience in that moment so that when once again he gasps for breath while he hangs on the cross, he might remember God saying, you are mine. I love you. I am well pleased with you. And perhaps remembering those words, he might trust that as he was once brought up out of those waters to new life, he might be once more brought out of the grave to new life. The promise of baptism is not the promise of protection from hardship, suffering, and death. The promise of baptism is that God loves us and will be with us in that hardship, suffering, and death. That God will carry us through to the other side. And this is the promise that God gives Jesus in his baptism, but it is also the promise that God gives to the Jewish people who are in exile. See, the message that God gives to the Jews in captivity is not that the road ahead will have floods and fires and global conflict. The message that God has for those people is, I'm taking you home. And to get to where you need to go, you're going to have to walk, and that walk will require you to pass through floods and fires. So do not be afraid, for God says, when you pass through the waters, I am with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you. The flame will not consume you. The message that God has for God's people is, I am setting you free. And to do that, I will use the global conflict around you to incentivize your captors to let you go so that you can be reunited once more with your family. The message is, I have ransomed you, so do not be afraid. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. The message is, the road ahead will have challenges, but do not be afraid, because in the midst of those challenges, I will be with you. Even if what I have to do is carry you through death and bring you back. This is the message that God speaks to God's people through the prophet Isaiah. This is the message that God speaks to Jesus through a voice from heaven in Jesus' baptism. But to each and every single person who is baptized, God also speaks this message through us as the church. When we baptize someone here in the midst of the congregation. And every time we baptize someone, the congregation as a whole, we make vows. We promise to support that person in their life in Christ and pray for them. Because while any follower of Jesus has the power to baptize another follower of Jesus, it takes a whole community to be the voice of God for that person as they go through the ups and downs of life, reminding that person through hugs, through home-cooked meals, through phone calls, through walks in the cold, that no matter what happens to them, they are God's. God loves them, and God is well pleased with them. Right now, the whole world is wondering what the year ahead will bring. And I don't know what will happen with COVID. I don't know if we will once again have fires this summer. I don't know what will happen with our broken political system. But here is what I do know. What will determine if the year 2022 is a good year is not any of those challenges or any other challenge that we face in life. It is knowing God's presence in our lives as we face those challenges. And I know that we as a church and as individuals are called to tell people of God's presence in their midst, that God is with them. We are called to do that as we gather here in worship proclaiming that truth. whether online or in person. We are called to share that truth with one another in small groups and in phone calls and loving handwritten notes. We are called to live out that truth in the way we treat the people around us, be they hungry folks that we serve food to, or be they neighbors or strangers that we meet on the street. May our actions transform them from another nameless person walking by to someone who is named and claimed by God. May we be the voice from heaven. May we be the voice of the prophet that says, "Thus says the Lord who created you, O Annalise, O Mary, O Diane. Thus says the God who formed you, O Ted, O Bill, O Karen. Do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. So do not be afraid, for I am with you." Amen.